And what'd you have to say to the budget committee?
Well, it's great to be with you. I basically said, be afraid, be very afraid. You know, sequester aside, so everybody knows that we have a defense budget that's proposed from the president for this year. It does not include what's called sequester, which are additional automatic cuts, which would be required under the Budget Control Act of 2011, about another $500 billion cuts over 10 years. So my message to the committee is, look, even without those cuts aside, we are heading for a readiness and capabilities crisis. Even the administration, by their own admission of the cuts that they have in the proposed FY 2013 budget, 75% of their cuts that they admit are really capabilities cuts. And if you actually look back at the theoretical proposed savings, and not just in this budget, but in the past budgets under Secretary Gates, the reality is a lot of those were capabilities cuts. So we've got significant capability cuts, no decrease in missions, and coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan really doesn't help you because the forces that those forces are going away. So a smaller force chasing more missions equals unready force.
So sequester is the 800-pound gorilla in the room on this, and Secretary Panetta said time and time again before any number of committees, including the budget committee that you testified to, we haven't made any plans yet for sequester. What happens? Does that surprise you to hear that?
No, of course not. It's been a game of chicken with the administration all along, which is to really kind of force Republicans in the House and the Senate to make a choice between either gutting defense or raising taxes. And, of course, Republicans don't want to do either. And so the president's kind of forcing them to take this Hobson choice. And so it's just a game of blank. And however everybody's decided to do is pretty much wait till after the election, and to try to address this in the lame duck. Don't explain to me how the politics are better in the lame duck, but that's the plan. From a readiness standpoint, capability standpoint, we can already see negative effects beginning to happen. So people aren't letting contracts. People are already cut. So they're already doing things in anticipation of that. And we're already seeing the negative effects of that. So just a small example, we buy Osprey airplanes. We're going to buy Ospreys because the Marine Corps really does not have any choice. They're going to have to buy these things because they're buying them to replace helicopters. There's just no choice. We were buying those under a multi-year contract because of the cuts in the budget, and then looking forward, they're going to go to single-year contracts. Well, then you don't get the discount of a multi-year buy, and they're going to cut the number of planes they're going to buy because they can't afford to buy as many. So what's going to happen is we'll go through another five-year period of buying Ospreys, and what we'll probably do, we'll probably buy 10 less aircraft but spend exactly the same amount of money. So that's what's passing for defense savings, and I mean the taxpayer is just the loser here.
You're talking about the difference between the space between cutting capability and no reduction in mission. Is the strategy that the Pentagon laid out back in December not a reduction in mission when they came right out and said we're not going to necessarily be able to fight two wars at the same time? That sounds like a reduction to me.
No, that's a reduction in capability. They didn't take any missions off the table. They just took capabilities off the table. And what they've been doing is go back and re-scripting the scenarios so they don't have to. So everything's a short war. So clearly they're cutting capabilities. Look, you just have to go back 2 years before the president issued his quadrennial defense review, laid out the long-term requirements. The independent panel that was commissioned by the Congress reviewed that, said they've under-considered requirements. And for the president to walk in 2 years later, what did he know that he didn't know 2 years ago? He knew he wanted to be out of Iraq by 2012. He knew he wanted to have combat troops out of Afghanistan by 2014. Iran hasn't changed. Iran's gotten more dangerous. North Korea's gotten more dangerous. China hasn't changed. Russia hasn't changed. So he knew everything he knows now 2 years ago. So for the administration to roll back in and put out a strategic guidance and pretend that it's anything other than just a budget-cutting exercise, I mean, it just doesn't pass the common sense test. And quite honestly, I think members on both sides in the Senate saw that when we testified.
That was going to be my next question. What do you think the takeaway was for both sides of the aisle, the leadership there, Senator Conrad and Senator Sessions?
Well, I think there is no question that everybody agrees that sequester is going to cut significant military capability and make us less safe. Everybody agrees that that's a really bad idea. Everybody wants efficiencies going forward, and I think this is one of the clear distinctions between, you know, frankly, my testimony and some of the other testimonies is, I said, look, there are significant savings that can be had in the real defense budget. When everybody else talked about additional cuts to the defense budget, they talked about additional cuts to defense budget, less capability, less troops on the ground, ships at sea longer. When I talked about savings in defense, I talked about real places where you could save money, changing to logistics-based performance, manpower reforms in terms of compensation, reductions in DOC staff. So the things that really are efficiencies that where you could save money, but you're not cutting capability away. And I outlined over $200 billion in savings. But the point I tried to make is, look, we are running way behind. We have not modernized the military since the end of the Cold War. We have 10 years of wear and tear on the force that we have to rebuild for. We have a massive recapitalization bill. So the right answer is, if you don't want to have less capability, you've got to keep a decent top line. You've got to find efficiencies in the budget, and then you have to plow that money back in and rebuild the force.
I guess the argument that I hear on a number of occasions, Jim, is that the top line is not all that much smaller this time around, the request that the administration has this year, than it's been in past years.
Well, they've played a lot of smoke and mirrors with the top line in terms of moving OCO costs, overseas contingency operation costs, into the top line, kind of artificially inflating the top line budget. So it looks more like slow growth. The reality is, and we've got a budget paper on this on our website by our analyst Baker Spring at heritage.org. We won't get back to FY 2010 spending levels in the 10-year budget projection that the president's outlined. That's the reality.